And peace and love be multiplied.
I remind you that Isaiah 53 is the New Testament in the Old.
Yes, sir.
This chapter is just chunked full of great things for the believer. We meet up with substitution in this chapter. We'll talk about that tonight. Substitution is that Jesus does for us in order for us to be where He is in days to come. Now, you'll hear preachers say time and time again that Jesus is our sacrifice. That's not scripturally true. Jesus is God's sacrifice on our behalf, but He is our substitute. He came in the game, if you will, for us, and won.
Yes.
And in that we are able to rejoice in the victory.
Yes.
Glory. Hallelujah. So we'll talk about that, but there are other major doctrines in this chapter. For instance, propitiation comes before us in verse number 6, and then atonement in verse number 8, reconciliation in verse number 11, and so on. But we'll get to those as time permits. Remember now that I said to you that Christ is, in verse number 1, He is the slighted one. In verse number 2, He is the sensitive one. In verse number 3, He is the sorrowing one. In verse number 4, He is the smitten one. In verse number 5, He is the suffering one. In verse number 6, He is the sin bearer. Verse number 7, He is the silent one. Verse number 8, He's the stricken one. Verse number 9, He's the sincere one. In verse number 10, He is the submissive one. In verse number 11, He is the satisfying one. And then in verse number 12, He is the successful one. All of this of Christ in this chapter. 44 pronouns in 12 verses refer to deity. 44 pronouns. You can't read this chapter, 12 little verses, without seeing Christ, unless Satan has you so blinded that you can't find your way to the front door. Spiritually, this is the, I guess we'll just have to call it Mount Pisgah. Of the Old Testament. Because here is Christ in beauty. Let's begin reading with verse number 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Our verse tonight, beginning the new paragraph. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In this verse, we have the glorious doctrine of substitution laid out before us. Look at the verse again. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. God sent Jesus into this world for the explicit purpose of finishing the work of redemption. I think we forget that the work of redemption didn't start when Jesus came in the world. But it began before God made man. Often, I understand that the mind is incapable of encapsulating this truth, because we are creatures of time. And being creatures of time, we can't look beyond time, obviously. However, if we can for a moment just view the truth that nothing ever sneaked up on God, and God has never had to say, oops,
What have I done?
So then when Adam sinned, God already had made provisions. Before Adam ever thought about, God had made provision. Had he not, then he couldn't be God. Because you see, God must know all things, past, present, future. Is that right?
Yes.
Let's look at it like this. And here's a word that Baptists just shy away from. Because we love to live in ignorance. Did you know that?
Yes.
And it's not just Baptists. Everyone, for some reason or the other, we love to live in ignorance. We like to let somebody else do our thinking for us. Huh? That's why our government's in the shape it's in today. That's why our churches are in the shape we're in today. Huh? We've let the politicians think for us politically. We've let the preachers and teachers think for us as far as the spiritual aspect is concerned. And we sit around like a bunch of zombies. It ought not be so, brethren. No. God gave you the same Bible He gave me. And God will teach you the same things He's taught me through the years. Now, He may use us to do that. But what God does see, when truth is revealed, I hate to even use that word, when truth is exposed, when we expose the truth and the Holy Spirit living in you, the thing that happens is He assures you that this is so. You have that assurance now. You have the Word and you have the Holy Spirit, two witnesses within you, showing you that this is so, this is truth. And when God exposes truth to you, dare not close your eyes to it and go in another direction. But embrace it with all that's in you and love it, because God is giving you something that a multitude of people will never know. Did you ever stop and think about that? When God reveals a truth to you, He's given you something that there's a multitude of people He's passed by and they'll never know it. They'll hear it, but they'll never know it. It'll never be assimilated into their mind. And that's sad, isn't it? It's sad. I've often said that there are people who will darken the doors of our churches from the time they are birthed until the time they die and never come to some of these great truths that would take away the heartaches and the pain and the suffering and the doubt that permeates their lives. That is a terrible, terrible loss. One of the greatest things that's ever happened to me down through the years is for people to come up to me and say, "Brother Larry, I saw something. I saw a truth. I've learned something." I'd rather have that than have all the accolades that folks can lay on us. I mean that. Praise God. You see, that shows us that we're doing something.
Right.
I spent time in the seminary classrooms trying to teach, and you look at the eyes and the eyes of those male and female students just look at you. What they're doing is sleeping with their eyes open for the most part. It's sad that they never learn. They never see these things. Don't grow old. As a matter of fact, I said to a preacher the other day, "It is a crime for you to have grown as old as you are and be as ignorant as you are of the Scriptures." What a shame. What do they do? Play golf with Obama or something? My soul. What do they do? A casual reading of the Word of God will expose much truth to you enough to make you want to get more.
Sure.
And especially those who are supposed to be teaching us, if you will. Let's dig into this for a moment, if we may. By the way, this thing of substitution comes before us in verse number 6, in verse number 8, verse number 10, 11, and 12. Read that and see if you can find it. I'm not going to give it to you now. I gave it to you in verse 6. I'm not going to give it to you in the other verses as you read it. And I hope you are reading this chapter. I hope you are. Don't listen. Don't let a day pass that you don't take time. It takes you just about a little less than 10 minutes to read it slowly. Now, you can spend 10 minutes a day reading the Word of God, surely. And if you read the Word of God on a daily basis, then add this to it on a daily basis and try to pick up the truths that are here. So, the doctrine of substitution comes before us in this chapter. There are 12 distinctive statements dealing with substitution in this chapter. 12 of them in these verses I gave you. So see if you can find them. Now, look at the words. Let's see if we can digest some of this tonight before we go to the house. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He hath borne our griefs. These griefs are maladies of the body. Any of you ever have any maladies of the body? Sicknesses, hurts, pains, all those kind of things. We all have those, don't we? You know why we have those? Because we're human. We had a daddy. We had a daddy in the garden. More than one time I've asked God, can I curse Adam? And more than one time, when I was in the gnats and the mosquitoes on a hot evening in Florida, I'd say, cursed be Adam. Now, why did I do that? Who's responsible for all this? Huh? Brought it all on us, didn't he?
Yes,
absolutely. But here's the thing that I've learned down through the years. I've learned that had I been there, I'd have done the same thing because I'm human. Had you been there, you'd have done the same thing. Absolutely. Yeah, probably quicker, probably much sooner than Adam did. We don't know how long Adam was in the garden. The scholars try to tell us. One group of scholars say 30 years. Another group of scholars say 70 years. I don't know how long Adam was there. My book doesn't tell me. But I know he was long enough there to sin and to cause the curse to fall upon us.
Yes.
I'm not going to argue and spend my time trying to figure that out. That doesn't have anything to do with God's plan of salvation on my behalf, does it? Absolutely not. So with the maladies of life, he hath borne our griefs and then carried our sorrows. These are the maladies of mind and soul. Now don't tell me you don't have those. You ever have any maladies of the mind? Now I'm not talking about being warped. I'm talking about just things that press upon you mentally. Sure they do. We call them burdens a lot of time. That's not a burden. Definitely, that is not a burden. Most of what we call burdens are self-inflicted idiocy. We bring these things on ourselves, don't we? Absolutely. Often, I'll go back and move something that I have either drop or... there have been times I'd drop it and just lay there till I came back by. Well, I've stopped doing that. If I drop something today, I take time to pick it up now before I fall over it the next time through. Because I hate to fall and not be able to blame somebody besides me. My children are gone. My grandchildren are grown and have great grandchildren now. And Ginger rarely comes into the garage. I'm over there working, so I have no one to blame it on but me. But that's what we do. We bring things on ourselves, and then, well, why did that happen? Well, it happened because you stuck your aggravating finger to the stove, Earl. What's your problem? Get it straightened out, right? We bring these things on ourselves, and then, oh, why did this have to happen to me? Well, it just had to happen to you because you left the paint on top of the ladder and walked under it and hit it. That's exactly why it happened. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
But there are times that we are pressed in our minds and our souls by things about us. I am concerned tonight, right now, as I stand before you, I am pressed in my mind and my soul about our nation and have been for some years. I've seen the degradation take place, and I'm pressed about that. And I approach God about it on a continual basis. I'm waiting for Him to just say, Larry, will you shut up? I heard you. But I get pressed about these kinds of things. Now, I promise you that I don't worry. Ask Ginger. When I lay my head on the pillow, it is ta-da. I'm out of here. I don't lay around and worry about it, but when I'm awake, I see what's going on, and I'm pressed about those things. I'm pressed muchly so about my kindred. I'd hate to be in heaven and look around for my kindred and them not be there. But now let's look at this. Get a hold of what this book says in this verse. Look back at it again. He hath borne our griefs. He has taken my hurts and my pain. You see, God gave him a body just like you and I. And that body had pains. I heard someone say one day, if Jesus hit his finger with a hammer, it didn't hurt. The truth is, he had a body just like your body. Yes, sir. If he hit his finger with a hammer, it hurt. A splinter smarted when it entered his body.
Yes.
The stones hurt his feet along the way. The sun was hot on him just like it was all the others.
Sure.
Hunger and thirst was upon him just like it is upon us. Remember in the preceding verses we talked about how he was just like any common Jew boy walking around. There was nothing about him that caused anybody to recognize him as anything other than a Jew walking down the street. All these paintings with the halos and all that kind of thing, garbage. Catholic, garbage.
Right.
Roman Catholic, garbage. Papal, garbage. No. Nothing, absolutely nothing to draw man to him of the outward appearance.
Right.
This is all spiritual. Spiritual. God draws men spiritually to Christ by His Spirit, not by them looking upon Him and desiring Him because they see something that would cause their mind to be drawn to Him. Absolutely nothing. So then His body, like our body, hurt. But now listen to what I'm telling you. His body hurt because He took our griefs and carried our sorrows. Are you beginning to see the substitution? He took our griefs. That's why it is foolish for you to spend your nights when you ought to be sleeping worrying about things you can't fix. Jesus has already taken them for us.
Yeah.
Did you ever stop and think about how much time we really waste denying the power of God in our own lives by worrying about things we can't fix anyway? Resign yourself to this marvelous truth. There are some things in this world you can't fix. And because you can't fix, all you can do is casting your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We call it illnesses and sicknesses. It's sin to spend our lives worrying about things you can't fix anyway. You can't fix someone else's life. Do you understand that I can't fix my own children's life? I can't fix my grandchildren's life. I can't fix my great-grandchildren's life. It's impossible. I can't do that. I can only be the example and pray that God will use the example to mold their lives. But I cannot fix what goes on in their lives. That's why I have to trust Him. That's why my Bible tells me that He took those things for me. I can trust Him. Did you ever tell your children you didn't trust them? For the most part, you said, oh, honey, I trust you. Lying through your teeth. What you ought to have been saying, honey, I don't trust you, but I'm trusting Him. If we'll learn to do that, I promise you, you can put away most of your medicine. I just locked the stinking medicine cabinet. Huh? And trust the Lord instead of running for something to relieve this, that, and the other. When you don't need relief from it, you just need to cast your care upon Him. And I've often wondered why folks don't understand what that passage means. Find me a book. Find me a song book. I'm not going to throw my Bible. Now here's what that word means. Here's what most of us do. We take our care and say, Lord, if you will, take that, will you? It's about the way we do it. But you know what the scripture says? Casting all your care upon Him.
Get rid of it.
Throw it away. Don't even look back where it came. Just throw the thing at Jesus' feet and go on. Because that's what Jesus came for. To take our sorrows, our griefs. To take those things upon Himself. Now, has He suffered in vain and we're still going to let these things drive us to the graveyard? If anyone ever tells you that Larry Montgomery died worried to death, look him straight in the face and say, you're the biggest liar that ever got burped out of hell. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you right quick, I have not learned the whole lesson, but I've come a long way in learning that Jesus took this for me. And He's my substitute. Therefore, all of these maladies of body and mind and soul are there. Now, I know, and surely you know, that the capital meaning of this is the spiritual being. But in the book of Matthew, the writer tells us that this is a fulfillment of this passage of Scripture. For some reason, Matthew chapter 8 touches upon me. It's when Jesus has healed so many. And then the writer says that this is a fulfillment of, and quotes this text. So then He hath borne our griefs, He carries our sorrows. The body, let me just ask you this, I'm going to close my eyes. How many of you really believe that God Almighty heals our physical bodies? Our Lord heals these bodies. Let me just say it to you like this. There is no healing except the healing of God.
Exactly.
Matthew 8:17. Okay. So the matter of fact that God Almighty heals our bodies, I've always said, listen, don't go to the doctor first. Go to Dr. Jesus. Your healing's going to have to come from Him anyway. So go to Him first and then revert to the others. But you know how we do it? We go to the doctors and let them half kill us. And then we go to Jesus. Let's reverse that order. Let's reverse that order. Let's just make a pact with our own mind tonight. I'm going to reverse that order. I'm going to go to Jesus first. And then I'll revert to the doctors. If that's what must need to be done. But see, God gave us doctors, didn't He? God gave us medication. It's there for us to use. But what we've done, we've substituted these things for God. Our first doctor needs to be Dr. Jesus. First and foremost. So then, take it to Him first. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was these because He bears our sorrows and bears our griefs. In John chapter number 11, we've dealt with that often, in the resurrection of Lazarus. But in John chapter 11, our Lord is a man of grief, is He not? Probably shown better here than anywhere else in the text of the Word of God. A man of grief. But again, He's not grieving because of what most people say He's grieving for. It is an extremely foolish thing for you to think that Jesus is grieving because Lazarus is dead. He's already told His disciples, He's dead and I'm glad. And this is for the glory of God, right? And He knows in just a moment He's going to call him and He's going to come out of that grave. He's not grieving because Lazarus is dead. He's grieving because that outfit around him don't believe that He is the resurrection and the life. And then He sorrows over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that slayeth the prophets. What is that? Chapter 23 of Matthew, down in the 30s somewhere, 36, 37. Sorrow. And He sorrows because Israel is non-repentant. I wonder if He would sorrow over America tonight. I think so. I think so. Let's get these other words right quickly. Stricken. It means to strike violently. Stricken. And this is our estimation. of him. It is the Jews' estimation of him. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But get this in your mind. This is the estimation of both we and the Jews. The unbeliever always looks at it in this manner. Look at the wording again. Yet we did esteem him stricken, violently hit or stricken, and then smitten. This word smitten means to be wounded. Wounded. Wounded of who? Now think that over and keep that in your mind. And afflicted. Afflicted. The word affliction in this case means one looked down upon. One that just doesn't possess all of his faculties, so to speak. The Jews called Jesus the leprous rabbi. Did you hear what I said? The rabbi with leprosy. That's why they didn't believe him. They wouldn't have anything to do with him because they looked upon him as being a leper. In the Jewish economy, at the age of 18, every young man is expected to be married. At the age of 20, he's expected to be a daddy, a father. Jesus was neither. So they looked at him, and here's what they said. They said, he is incapable of fathering children. Therefore, he is not married. Therefore, he has no children. He is wounded. Remember the word a while ago? He is wounded in such a fashion that he cannot father children. That's what they looked upon, and that's what they thought out loud. You see, every avenue that Satan could bring before their mind, he brought it there to disgrace or to downplay the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he's not a married man. Then he has a physical problem. He don't have children. See, he's been smitten of God, wounded to where he can't father children. So who would follow one like this? Don't ever forget the devil is constantly trying to work up something in the mind of someone to take the truth away. All these are smoke screens. All these are things that hell thinks up, and people quickly run to them and believe them. When I was studying these things years ago, I looked at it and I thought, why would people be so quick to believe all of this garbage? I've grown up a little bit since then. Maturity teaches us some things that we don't learn as a young man or young. And I'm seeing people today fall to lies, smoke screens, disguises like I never thought was possible. I'm not going to name them, but before God, this nation lives in a smoke screen. There are very few people that for some reason or other have enough spiritual mind about them to shake their heads once in a while and try to find out something, truth, and hang on to the truth rather than believe all these fairy tales. And the same thing is so spiritually. Our churches are full of fairy tales. And they believe in Jesus. Let me tag something to this tonight. The name Jesus is like me not being necessarily a friend or anything of Ginger and just walking up to her and say, hey, Ginger. It's a first name kind of thing. It's a casual thing. You should never call the name of Jesus without mentioning Lord with it. Lord Jesus. Now, why am I saying that? Because you see, you use that casual name and you take away his sovereignty and he's no more than you are. He's no more than Jake or Jim or Joe or what have you. And churches are falling like flies to using that kind of terminology that is casual terminology about deity. Can I tell you something? Don't be offended at me when I say this, but you're a fool when you play with deity. We're fools when we negate the sovereignty of a holy God and deal with Him casually. You're going to search hard and long to find people in the Scripture that addressed Him casually. Why then do we do it? Because we're living in this numb mind philosophy that has nothing to do with theology. And we're telling ourselves that Jesus is our friend. Look at me, let me tell you something. Jesus is not your friend unless He is your Savior first. What a friend we have in Jesus. What are those next words? All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything. Everything. But you see, we have taken away His sovereignty, and we have a casual relationship with a Jesus that's not the Jesus of the Bible. So you ask someone, do you know Jesus? Why, of course I know Jesus. Sure, I know. Everybody knows Jesus. Now do me a favor. Kind of hold your head just a minute and see if you can think sanely and realize everyone does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by any stretch of the imagination, but they know Jesus. Listen even, and I hate to even do this, God forgive me, but listen to the way they even pronounce the name. It is not Jesus, it is Jesus. I hear the serpent. Do you? Just listen to it. How many times have you heard it? When the name of Christ is mentioned, when they name Jesus, see if you hear the serpent. If you hear the serpent, it's not the Christ of the Bible. And if they're not addressing Him properly, they're either ignorant or don't know Him. One of the two. You ought not be ignorant. I've often said that the greatest church in the New Testament was the church of the ignorant brethren. And Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. But we just fall into this smoke screen and we start calling Him by His first name. If we are in any kind of a setting other than a casual setting, if you'll notice, I refer to my brother as Brother Gary because he is my pastor. I don't refer to him casually. Angie, you know it's so. The children and the folks in the church in Florida, they never called me Larry. My wife never called me. In their presence, it was always preacher or Brother Larry. Now, why? Why? It teaches us to come outside of a casual setting and realize that there is respect due the man of God. If there's respect due the man of God, is there no respect due God Himself? If I'm in a conversation and folks just call the name Jesus clearly in that fashion, I just kind of back out of the conversation. I've got a dog barking over there somewhere I need to go check. I don't want to be in that conversation because there's something wrong with addressing deity casually. It says something about what's going on inside of us. And we are overcome by these smoke screens and fall to them. If we're not careful and if our feet aren't planted, let me go further and say if our heart is not planted, if the anchor is not inside the veil and our hope is anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ.